This is episode 74 with Miral Djibouri.
You know what? I think like any other mom, I was also at a time where obviously I have young children and I just wanted to make sure that I instill a very healthy relationship with food for them. And so that was obviously something that was on a priority for me on a daily basis. And we have different family members that struggle with their weight management and other family members are diabetic and so on. So learning more about a whole food plant-based diet, really the conclusion is that it reduces or even eliminates diseases such as chronic diseases, such as heart disease, diabetes, and cancer.
Welcome to the Drive to Succeed podcast.
Welcome everyone to another episode of the Drive to Succeed podcast. If it's your first time tuning in today, my name is Daniel, the host of the show. This podcast exists to bring you new knowledge, wisdom, and truth in the world of entrepreneurship and self-development. Today's guest is a U.S. certified holistic nutritionist and whole foods plant-based lifestyle blogger. And in this episode, we covered about the different types and classes of food that is health promoting. Foods that are marketed as healthy, but has a lot of hidden ingredients that can be harmful to your health. What is the difference between whole foods plant-based diet and vegan diet? What's the number one skill you need to master in preparing your food and do your grocery shopping? How to influence people in a positive light and many more. Before I send you off, make sure to share this episode to your friend, to your family member, to your colleague who will be inspired to transform their health that comes from poor food choices, diet, and lifestyle. If it's your first time here or if you haven't yet subscribe to the Drive to Succeed podcast in Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Click that subscribe button right now. Leave us a rating and a review in Apple Podcasts. This way, it can improve our searchability, reach out, and impact more people too. And now, let's welcome Miral Djibouri.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you for having me.
So, by the way, Miral, the reason you're here today is because in this day and age, I believe most people see the importance of living a healthy lifestyle, you know, from choosing the right type of foods, importance of exercise, dietary requirements of their body, and so on. But for our audience today who might be listening and who are finding ways to take back their health through proper nutrition, specifically your expertise, which is whole food plant-based diet, before we deep dive into this topic, can you just give us a little bit context of who is Miral Djibouri?
Well, I am originally Iraqi. I was born and raised in Dubai, and I lived in New Zealand, and I'm a Kiwi also. And I have spent all my life really in the PR and communication space for over 10 years in PR. And then I took a few years off to focus on my family. And then I kind of stumbled upon this whole new kind of journey and passion. It was actually my sister who recommended a book she was reading called How Not to Die by Dr. Michael Greger. And it really just changed my entire life. It opened my eyes to really what, you know, the nutrition science is suggesting today. And it's quite clear. And so I decided to transition to a whole food plant-based diet. And I also got U.S. certified in holistic nutritionist as a holistic nutritionist. And I've just been kind of dedicating my time to just sharing information on my Instagram and just wanting to really help raise awareness about, you know, what the nutrition science suggests for an optimal diet.
Interesting. And also, while I'm doing my research, I read an interesting fact that 80% or more of your risk for top-killing diseases comes from your diet and lifestyle. Since you are a holistic nutritionist and specifically, you know, expert in whole foods, plant-based diet, evidence-based, how important is this and what is the difference between whole foods, plant-based diet and vegan diet? Can you explain?
Yeah, sure, of course. So I think that's really important to kind of clarify, because I think many people are still not even familiar with what a whole food plant-based diet is. So, you know, essentially a whole food plant-based diet is a diet that is centered around five key kind of food areas, so to speak, or food categories. So fruits, vegetables, beans and other legumes like lentils and chickpeas, and then whole grains, so anything like frika or burghol, quinoa, and so on. And then finally, nuts and seeds. So that's, you know, really the plant-based element. And then, you know, the whole food aspect is really just avoiding processed food. So highly processed foods are anything from like oil or packaged food, refined sweeteners, sugar, bleached flours, so, you know, white flour, white bread, white pasta, white rice, and so on. So really a healthy plant-based diet. And then there is really a plant-based diet, which is only plant-based, but not necessarily healthy. It doesn't avoid necessarily processed food. And then there is veganism, which is people that choose to not eat, consume any animal products for the animals. So they're actually very similar. You know, as a vegan, you can be healthy or unhealthy vegan, but that's for the animals, for, you know, the driving force is the animals, animal protection. But a plant-based diet and even a whole food plant-based diet is really for health. Is you're really eating in a certain way for health reasons. So yeah, that's how I would kind of, you know, sum it up.
Interesting. So just to recap it, so whole food plant-based diet consists of five things. You mentioned like fruits, vegetables, legumes, nuts, and seeds, while you totally avoid, you know, the process, the oil process and the refined one, like sugar, sweeteners and all that, while the plant-based not necessarily avoid that, but implement that. And then there's the veganism, which totally avoids, you know, animal protein or animal processed foods, meat or, you know.
Yeah, they don't eat it for animals, not for health reasons, but for, so you can be a healthy or an unhealthy vegan, but you do it really for the animals.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And I'm just really curious as well, because you mentioned like sweeteners, and I assume, you know, the more processed it is, the more it's unhealthy for you. But there's also like sugar and there's also stevia. What are your thoughts on that? Do you implement that with a diet, or how is it good with your diet?
So there are certain things that are quite clear in terms of what is healthy, what is not healthy, and things that are still, there needs to be a bit more research about, and you can kind of have in moderation. So refined sugar, so white sugar really, is something that you'd want to avoid. It is high in calories and low in nutrition benefits, and so that's something you want to kind of avoid. And then there are things like stevia, which, you know, there's, I think, a bit of, you know, unclarity exactly on whether it's good or bad. But basically, the direction or the consensus is, you know, something that you can have in moderation. And there are other options that are, you know, health promoting. So, for example, date sugar, you know, essentially just dried dates, or date syrup, which is a liquid form, a sweetener. So those are healthier options as to sweeten your food in a natural, you know, using natural ingredients.
You said, but doesn't mean, I think there's also like a connotation when the fruit is dried, the more sugar content it has. Is that true? Or what are your thoughts on that as well?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like when fruits are, so it's dried fruits, let's say, basically, yeah, a lot of the water content has been removed, but, you know, there's still nutritional benefits. It's really, I wouldn't say it's good or bad. It depends what you're comparing it to, right? So it would still be a better option than some of the refined sugars out there. But yeah, would it use some of maybe the nutritional benefits? Yes, and water content, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't have still some nutrition in it.
Interesting.
So I would probably opt for the, you know, fresh fruits, but again, there are still nutrition benefits in the dried fruits, and some research also still indicates, you know, certain benefits.
Understood. And when you go to the whole foods plant-based diet, do you necessarily be strict on, let's say, your grocery shopping list? When you work with clients, is it important to like look on the nitty-gritties of whatever they buy? Because nowadays, I think, you know, 90% or maybe less than that are mostly processed, and we might not know there's like ingredients that is harmful to our body. So what are your thoughts on that as well?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is, I think, really the tricky part, right? So unfortunately, with how the long shelf life products have so much preservatives and, you know, ingredients that are not necessarily good for us. And so, yes, I think it's really important. I think one of the things that I recommend is really going through your kitchen and really eliminating, you know, a lot of ingredients that are just flat out not necessarily health promoting. They're not good for us. And then really also going to the supermarket and finding so many alternatives that are better options. So again, I would say perfection is not the goal. So as long as you're making changes in the right direction, and the speed really doesn't matter, you know, like you should really take on as much as you can handle, because this is really, you want to approach this for the long haul, and you want to be able to do it in a way and a pace that you can sustain. It's not overwhelming. So there are definitely, like, I'll just give you an example. For example, you know, chickpeas, right? Canned chickpeas. There are canned chickpeas brands that have added salt and sugar, and that have also BPA from the can. And today, you know, we're really lucky that there are other options in the market that have just simply chickpeas in the can, no added salt, no added sugar, and the can is also BPA free. So that's a much healthier, obviously, option. So there are so many swaps, I would say, and there are so many, I think, products that one could just kind of really eliminate completely and do without. And yeah, so that will be an important part of the transition and the step forward to a healthier kind of ingredients and diet.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And also, I'm just really curious as well, because you mentioned perfection is not the goal. I mean, most people, when they try to opt in for a healthy lifestyle or adopt a new diet, there are times where your body might have a hard time being accustomed to a new diet plan, or maybe you're craving some foods in the middle of the night, or, you know, and you know that when you opt in for something healthy, you know that you're starting to become conscious. But the question is, do you believe in having a cheat meal or a cheat day? What's your advice on that?
Yeah. So like, you know, I think you have to be honest with yourself in terms of what a healthy and optimal diet looks like. And then I think you need to also be realistic with how you implement it. So you definitely should try your best to eat in a healthy way. But at the same time, there has to be room for flexibility to be able to manage how you feel emotionally and your mental state, and being able to do this long term, and also really managing social situations, circumstances, and, you know, relationships. So like, also you have to be flexible for the sake of, you know, your spouse or your family, or, you know, when you're traveling, like there has to be room for flexibility. But you will be surprised when you kind of embark on a healthier lifestyle and really understand where you should be or what is the aim, then your choices, even for a cheat meal, are nowhere close to being as bad as they may necessarily have been before, when, you know, trying to be healthy was not a priority. Yeah, no, certainly. Like, for example, you know, when I cook at home, I avoid the use of oil. But when I go out, when I dine out, I'm still eating a plant-based, you know, dish. But I'm going to be flexible with some of the, you know, like obviously the oil that's being used, and, you know, I might avoid fried food, but, you know, there's going to be a lot of ingredients that have the dressings and that have, you know, like all these, you know, might have, I don't know, like
olive oil, coconut oil or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. And like that will have some, you know, white bread or whatever. Like if there's really no other option, that it's okay. Like there's, you know, there you're there in that space of flexibility. You choose where you're comfortable. But ultimately as well, you have to be realistic. For example, you need to realize that eating at home and making homemade food using clean ingredients are always going to be healthier for you than eating out or ordering in most of the time. A lot of confidence, I can say it's going to be healthier for you, right? Because the way you get to control what goes in there and the quality of the fruits and vegetables and the ingredients and so on. So that needs to be put into perspective. So in terms of, you know, making an effort to choose when you have your cheat meals and choose when you kind of just be a bit flexible with what you're eating.
Understood. And is there a way to sustain, you know, a whole foods plant-based diet or a lifestyle diet that you are sharing with us? I mean, because is it more like a skill set more of a mindset thing?
I think it's a combination. I think education is an important piece. You really need to kind of learn more about it and understand the value and the benefit, the nutritional benefit, and the health benefits that you will get from it, for you to kind of want to go through those changes and make those efforts and know that it's worth it. I think that's an important piece. And I think the other important piece is really you have to be prepared. Like, you know, so you set yourself up for success versus setting up yourself for failure if you're not prepared. Like a lot of the times, you know, good ingredients at home, if we have some food that's, you know, leftover foods or whatever, maybe that's frozen or certain essential ingredients that are, you know, we have that are frozen, then we can easily kind of be able to maneuver our way even on a busy day or, you know, when we haven't had time to like grocery shop or so on, to be able to kind of sustain being consistently being able to eat healthy. But if you're unprepared, then, you know, that also is going to not work in your favor. You're going to be too tired, or you're going to be, you know, you still have to factor in more time to like grocery shop, et cetera, to be able to pull together a healthy meal. So I don't think it happens by chance or by coincidence. I think when you're armed with the correct information, and when you are also prepared and factor, you're prepared in advance, then that is really, those two kind of go hand in hand for better results.
Understood. And also there's a study shows, because like me and my wife, we've opted into, you know, living healthy for the past, I think 60, 90 days. You know, we're trying to avoid like processed foods, refined sugars, and all the whites that you mentioned, but eating moderately on a certain time of the day or a certain day of the week. Well, doing our own research as well, and you know, the reason why you're here as well, just to like give us an overview of the diet, you know, whole-based, plant-based diet. There's a study that shows that anyone who eats animal-based protein and compared it to a plant-based, you know, diet, they tend to have more muscle mass, which contributes to athleticism and better built body. What are your thoughts on this? If you're planning to maybe go in a gym, is it best to still incorporate this, or is it better to have an animal protein in your diet?
Okay, so you 100% do not need animal, you know, you don't need to consume animal products for protein. So that's a huge misconception. Actually, protein does not come from animals. Protein comes from plants. Animals eat plants and plant-based, you know, crops and so on. And that's how they get their protein. And we then get it from animals as a secondhand kind of through the animal. So protein is found in all plant-based ingredients. So it's not just vegetables, obviously. It's every single plant-based ingredients that I listed before, like fruits, vegetables, beans, whole grains, and nuts and seeds, have protein in them. And they have carbs and they have fat. But obviously, the ratio of the protein in these ingredients is different. I would say some of the foods that are found to have high levels of protein are soy, quinoa, nuts and seeds, oats, and grains. So those are good sources of protein. So if you want to work out, if you want to be fit, if you want to be build muscle, you certainly can do that on a whole food plant-based diet. And just also, of course, you know, it needs to be well planned, and it needs to be factoring in some of the ingredients that have high sources of protein, high ratio of protein.
And speaking of exercise, do you think that exercise comes first before nutrition, or nutrition comes first before exercise? I wanted to pause and let you know that we are booking new guests for our show. If it's your first time here, or you've been tuning for a while now, the Drive to Succeed podcast focuses on value-based conversations, stories that inspires and impact business growth and human potential. If you know someone in your network or someone within your circle of influence that may fit the description we're looking for, please go to the website at thedrivetosucceed.com/guest. Again, the website is thedrivetosucceed.com/guest. And now let's get back to the rest of the episode.
I think they go hand in hand. They definitely complement each other. You know, so I wouldn't necessarily say one is more important than the other, but no, they're both very important. And in terms of exercise, it's also been recommended that there needs to be a combination of both cardio and strength training equally, even strength training for bone health and so on. So each one has, you know, they complement each other. Each one has definitely their benefits.
Interesting. When we were planning to do this interview, you mentioned to me earlier as well that there's a book by Dr. Michael Greger, How Not to Die, Change Your Life in Some Way. Can you explain how that happened?
So I've been in the communications and PR industry for over 10 years, and mostly in the cosmetics industry. And then I took a few years off to focus on family. And then my sister had recommended How Not to Die by Dr. Michael Greger. And just quite simply put, it really explains all the top causes of death, really. And explains what causes these diseases or health conditions. and also equally talks about all the health promoting foods and ingredients for optimal health. So it was quite clear. I mean, the nutrition science is quite clear what is being recommended for optimal health.
Understood. Is there, let's say, a catalyst? Because most of the time when people decided to change aspect within their life or lifestyle, there's something like either on a positive note or on a negative note that made them shift their thinking.
You know what? I think like any other mom, I was also at a time where obviously I have young children and I just wanted to make sure that I instill a very healthy relationship with food for them. And so that was obviously something that was on a priority for me on a daily basis. And we have different family members that struggle with their weight management and other family members are diabetic and so on. So learning more about a whole food plant-based diet, really the conclusion is that it reduces or even eliminates diseases such as chronic diseases, such as heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. I'll just give you an example. Like my brother-in-law, my sister's husband, he has type 1 diabetes and struggling, you know, that he's been, you know, living with that for over 15 years and year on year been having to increase his insulin dosage. And obviously when you're diabetic, there are other complications that also come along the way, but from, you know, blood pressure to you managing your cholesterol and so on. And and after some, you know, some convincing, he decided to, I think he reached a state where he was just frustrated with having to constantly year on year. And he ate really well on a normal or a standard diet. You know, he had to, grilled chicken and vegetables and steamed vegetables and all that sort of stuff for years. And so he was kind of continuously gaining some weight and his numbers were just not improving. So he decided to switch to a whole food plant-based diet and to try it out. And he dropped his insulin dosage by 40% within the first 5 days.
Wow.
And he dropped, but within 2 weeks, he had, you know, gone down to like about 60% of insulin dosage. And of course, then he's working closely with his doctors to also try to reduce his other medications that he's on for blood pressure and cholesterol, but obviously, you know, doing it, you know, in a safe way. So, I mean, when you hear, and I've got other family members who have decided to adopt this diet and they've just been, you know, they've organically kind of had organic weight loss and just feeling so much stronger, have so much energy, feeling sharper, thinking sharper. It just makes you feel so good and happy because at the end of the day, this is, you know, affecting people's quality of life. Like my brother was just had zero energy levels and he lost over 10 kilos and he feels amazing. And you know, like he's reduced all this medication, which is obviously takes a toll on your liver and your kidneys and so on. So, you know, the benefits are quite visible as well. And yeah, and I think, I don't know what caused this. I don't have or experience any
defining moment or something like,
you know, or pressing health conditions or so on. But like, you know, I just believe, and this is where it's all comes down to, Daniel. You know, we have to really start thinking about our health in a different light. Like we cannot think that if we're not diagnosed with a disease, then we are invincible and that we are not considered ourselves automatically healthy. In this today's day and age, there is so much information that is available and so many resources that we have to be proactive about our health to help prevent also any future kind of chronic illnesses or God forbid, you know, like cancer or so on. You have to do what we can within our current circumstances, our capacity to be proactive and helping, you know, do our best within our means to kind of promote being healthy. I think that for me, it was just trying to be proactive in life and just not confusing my kids and what I was, you know, teaching them in terms of what's healthy and so on. In fact, I make, for example, cupcakes and cookies and all these different kind of foods that are delicious and all nutritious, all that are clean ingredients, real ingredients, not processed, not, you know, not white flour, not white sugar, refined sugar, just using dates to sweeten the cupcakes and using oat flour instead of white flour. And I get excited when they are eating and enjoying these foods versus, you know, trying to manage the quantity and, you know, telling them that this is good or this is bad. In fact, everything, you know, we should be eating, even eating these desserts and treats should be health promoting and this should be for everybody to really kind of enjoy. So, yeah, there are options today.
thank you so much for sharing that. I think it's very important that, you know, people listen to this episode because, like you mentioned, like your brother-in-law who had type 1 diabetes somehow regained some of his health and energy through whole plant-based diet.
Yeah. His numbers, sorry, just to add one more thing. Sure. His numbers now are, so he's type 1 diabetic. It's an autoimmune disease. He will not be able to, it's not something you can reverse. Type 2 diabetes, on the other hand, you can manage and reverse, really. But, you know, obviously you're going to have to live with this for life and take medication. But the amount of medication that you take will be controlled. You know, it's trying to keep it to a minimum and living a better quality of life. So, yeah.
Interesting. And because I think when we tackle about like foods, nutrition, medicine, you know, there's a huge corporations behind these companies, right? And their aim is that to make you live healthy, but to make money. So it's quite a controversial topic, but I totally believe that it's always a matter of choice. And, you know, speaking of family, as well, family member, I know that when someone within a circle, you know, either being family or within a circle of friends, when one is a nutritionist, a health expert or something, they tend to be like, you know, the diet police, like when someone eats or, you know, the drink consists a lot of sugar, or, you know, that's not healthy. Do you know that ingredient contributes to cancer and so on? Have you experienced that? Or what is your approach to influence people in a positive light rather than looking at you as an annoying person, like, you know, telling them what to eat or what not to eat?
You know, I think there is good food or a good diet, a bad diet, and there's everything else in between. I don't believe that there is one singular thing that you will eat or not eat that will define whether you are healthy or not healthy. So that is very relevant in terms of food. And then there is also lifestyle, which is also equally important. You know, even if you eat, for example, let's say the goal is to be healthy. So even, so to speak, when you eat healthy, but your lifestyle is not kind of supporting that, you're hardly stressed, you don't sleep well, you know, you don't drink enough water and so on. You know, that also takes a toll on your body. And that will contribute to your overall health or, you know, state. Or so, no, I don't believe in dictating yes, right, wrong, good, bad, and one. You know, there is good, there is bad, and everything else in between. And ultimately, we have to factor in. I think it's really important to learn and get educated about understanding what is truthfully health-promoting foods. And what are not, and then working towards that. And wherever you land within your circumstances is good and it's progress. Yeah, that's what I guess I would say. I don't food police people, that's for sure. No. But I think you need to take accountability and you need to own it. You know, when you however you're choosing to, you need to be conscious and mindful of the choices you're making, whether it's a quote unquote good or bad food or a meal. If that's what you choose to have consciously, knowing what you know, then that's your decision, that's your choice, and that's okay. Versus unfortunately being overwhelmed and misled by all this clutter of confusing information that makes it more difficult for people to incorporate a healthy diet. I see a lot of people that care to eat well and live well, but unfortunately are overwhelmed with a lot of contradicting information, and that's where it kind of also makes it more difficult.
Yeah, because someone consumes maybe content from here and there, and then their doctor says different things or their family member says different things.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of marketing out there. And you know what? What if there's something I could tell you is it's reading product labels. Like, I think that's something that should be, that really everybody needs to learn how to master, because product claims are often just misleading, you know, and they'll tell you, you know, sugar-free this, but it's like, oh, you're using artificial sweeteners, but that are also not good for our health, or it's sugar-free, but it's like high in fat. You know, there's so many misleading claims. And so just they're also, I try to also educate and post about how to navigate your way through reading a product claims. And also always looking at the ingredient list in the back. Always look at it to see, you know, what it says. And ingredients are listed from the ingredients that are most present in the product to the least present in that order. So once you start to like looking at those, understanding that, then you'll really, really be able to learn for yourself and realize for yourself whether it's, let's say, mostly a healthy product or mostly not a healthy product.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I always believe as well that, you know, like you mentioned, reading ingredients, product claims as well on each product, or even planning for groceries for a week or for a month helps you better prepare what types of food you eat or consume with you or your family member as well for the, you know, for the rest of the week when you do groceries as well. As we're reaching towards the end of the podcast, Miral, I just wanted to know, where can people find you? I know you have a show on Instagram. I think it's a cooking show where you invite other guests as well, and it's quite interesting. Where can people find you and know more about your work?
So on Instagram, my handle is @_from_the_ground. And yeah, I just basically post about nutrition and plant-based food and, you know, lifestyle. And just, I also do cooking videos with other women and that are either already plant-based or not. And just kind of, you know, making a dish plant-based to just, yeah, just to share, inspire, share, make people more familiar with what the ingredients are, what they look like, you know, and just giving ideas and, yeah, sharing information. So I hope people find that helpful.
And where did the inspiration came from the show? Is it something like, all right, so I became a holistic nutritionist. Is this like an initial plan from the get-go, or you love cooking and you decided to just like, you know, why don't I create a show around this?
So I enjoy cooking. I'm good at cooking, but I'm not a chef. Okay. I'm not a chef. I don't, yeah, I definitely not, you know, what I am somebody who really understands nutrition and who's super passionate about plant-based food. And so for me, doing these cooking videos with cooking show and cooking videos with other women is to inspire others and bridge gaps between people who might want to, for example, want to eat healthier or want to eat more plant-based, but don't know how. They don't know what those ingredients, what whole food plant-based is, you know, so I'm just, how do I bridge that gap and simplify it in a way where I give people ideas, inspire them. And also what I enjoy doing is getting people in the community who follow any diet, doesn't matter what diet they follow, and just kind of, you know, join the experience together. So it just helps raise awareness that regardless of what diet you follow, you can most certainly start incorporating healthy food and more plant-based food into your cooking. So you can just modify dishes and recipes that you already know and enjoy in a way that is just healthier.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that as well. So guys who are listening or watching this podcast, just go to _from_the_ground. That's Miral's Instagram handle. So you can check her out. And before my last and final question, I just want to acknowledge you, Miral, for gracing us with your wisdom about whole foods, plant-based diet, lifestyle, and showing up that it's possible to choose a healthy lifestyle and sustain it. And I always believe when you combine educational content with entertainment, like a podcast like this, like, you know, cooking show on Instagram, is basically to encourage and inspire people to choose that there's always a better option for them. And for that, I salute you, Miral. So my last and final question to you is, if everything is a strip away from you, what's your main drive to succeed?
Oh, that's an interesting one. You mean if everything ought to work out, or you mean if everything was taken away?
Yes. So if everything worked out with what you have planned, whatever that...
Oh, so what would give me the drive to continue on this path?
Yes. And if everything is stripped away from you, like one day you wake up and, you know, everything was stripped away from you, you know, what would be your main drive to succeed?
I think just really having that inner passion for helping others, I think will never change. And so I think really that will be my driving anchor in all of this. Just, you know, adding value, like, you know, helping others in their lives, just making, simplifying things and helping people navigate in a better way.
Well, thank you so much, Miral, for your time and for your wisdom. Any last parting words before we end this podcast?
I will just say thank you for this opportunity. It's been such a pleasure, and I hope this will help somebody out there.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a rating and a review in Apple Podcasts. This way, it can improve our searchability, reach out, and impact more people too. We are also running an online newsletter, so if you wanted to know more about the cool stuff we do, you can also check out the website at thedrivetosucceed.com/newsletter. Once again, thank you for listening. Bye for now.